Pastor Rick had a great text to preach from last Sunday. It's probably one of the most magnificent chapters in all the Bible, Romans 8. And then he leaves town, and he gives me Romans 9 to preach on. With one of the most difficult sentences that's in the Bible, because it says, God says, I love Jacob, but I hated Esau. Now, how am I supposed to preach on that? As I try to get my computer back up here. How am I supposed to preach that God hates someone? Like, thank you. Tough text, right? Well, there hopefully is an answer. And I got a pastor in Mississippi. I read a sermon from this guy, an apostolic church in Mississippi. And he helped me out on that. So I will give him credit for that. But before we get that, the theme today is, who cares? Question mark, who cares? Have you ever gone through a situation where it was really difficult for you, and you tried to talk to someone, and they were kind of busy, and so you're pouring your heart out, saying, oh, Pastor Perry, this is awful. Mm-hmm, yeah, that's going to be tough, yeah. And I hope I haven't done this, but right before church, sometimes you get busy. And I really want to see what you think about it. Yeah, go ahead, sure, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sure that's difficult for you. Here's a Bible. God bless you. Well, he didn't really care, right? I'm not going back to that church. But we've all felt like that sometimes, where you tried to talk to someone and they didn't care. They weren't even there for you. And on the other side, how valuable it is when someone really sits down, looks you in the eye, and you know they may even cry with you, and they pray with you, and you know they really care. That makes a big difference. Even if they can't change anything, at least you know they care, and you have someone, you're not alone, who shares the burden with you, right? Well, here in Romans 9, after Romans 8, this magnificent chapter of nothing can separate us from the love of God, and we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us, Paul probably started thinking about that, and then he started thinking about his brothers and sisters, brother Jewish people and sister Jewish people, and that they weren't going to be there because they rejected Christ. He started thinking about that, and he said, I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. So he's not exaggerating. He's not getting kind of hot air and kind of overblowing and exaggerating his feelings. But he says this with the Holy Spirit confirming it. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Now that's saying a lot, right? Paul's saying there he would be willing to go to hell for his own people if that would do any good. If somehow if he went to hell and all the Jewish people go to heaven, if he would go to hell instead of them, he would be willing to do it. I don't think I could say that, but anybody, you know. I'm going to go to hell, sure. That's a lot of love, right? That shows how much Paul really did care for the people, the very people that persecuted him and beat him, tried to kill him, threw rocks at him. All that was going on, right? And yet Paul had such love for his own people because he's one of them. And he used to be the Pharisee of Pharisees and very legalistic and hated Christians. And if you remember, even tried to have Christians killed. But now that he's a follower of Jesus and a leader of the Christian church, Paul has this great sorrow and unceasing anguish in his heart. And he wished that he could do something about it to bring the people back. Have you ever felt like you really cared about a loved one or a friend or someone that you knew that didn't know Christ and you can see their life going the wrong way and you can't do anything about it and it makes you feel bad for them, right? Well, we talked about that. You've just talked about that, right? Yeah, and you just go, it hurts so bad. And you wish you could change their mind, you could change their heart. With my own kids, I wish I could somehow get them back in church, but I can't. I pray like crazy all day, all the time. Unceasing. And parents will cry tears for their kids or grandkids if they're going the wrong direction. And it just hurts a lot, doesn't it? When you see someone going the wrong way, you know they're going to get hurt. And there's not a lot you can do about it except pray that somehow there'd be a detour in that person's life that God would set up maybe other people or circumstances where they would turn their lives around. That's what Paul felt here. And on Wednesday nights, we have a supper that we have served here on Wednesday nights at 5 o'clock. Then we have a Bible study. We're going through the book of Jeremiah. And chapter by chapter, there's a lot of chapters in Jeremiah. I forgot how many there were in there. And it talks about the fact that how Jeremiah had this really tough message to give to the people of God because they were falling away terribly. They were They were sacrificing their children. They were worshiping false gods, as well as going to church on the Sabbath day and worshiping the true God, but not living for God. Hateful people, tearing people down, flatterers. Oh, yeah, sure, I like you, you know, and then turning their back against them and saying bad things against other people, and hateful and not loving God or other people. So it was so bad that God called Jeremiah, called the weeping prophet, because he was crying all the time, and he had this hard message to warn the people, and to tell the people, actually, that was because they'd given up on God, they're going to lose everything, and the Babylonians are going to come in and destroy everything and everybody, and the people that weren't destroyed would be sent off to Babylonia, and to Babylon, rather, to be in part of the captivity, and it would be awful. It would be terrible. And Jeremiah's crying as he talks about this message, and even God says, His eyes were like fountains because he was crying so much over his own people. It broke his heart. And even Jesus, the week before he was crucified, he sat on the top of a hill overlooking Jerusalem at night, and he cried out, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." And as a hen would like to gather its chicks under its wing, so I would like to do that for you, and you would not. And he started crying over his own people. Because Jesus was the King of the Jews, right? And he was called, first of all, to the lost sheep of Israel, and they totally rejected him as the Messiah, as the Savior, as the Lord. And so Jesus cried. So sometimes people want to know, do we really care? And we do need to show that we care, right? And lost people matter to God, and they should matter to us when people are falling away. When we have people coming here from the jails, and they're doing fantastic, and they're all on fire. And then Robin works so hard to get him in a halfway house, and then she calls over there for that person the next day, and they're gone, and they've left already. So it's sad when people relapse and they go away from God, right? So God does care, and we, His leaders and His people, should care as well. So people say, "Who cares? What do you care if I fall off? What do you care if I fall away?" Well, we do care, right? There are brothers and sisters in Jesus, and there should be a connection. There is a connection. When people leave, it's like we're all part of the body. It's like an amputation. Have you ever fallen asleep on your arm and you wake up, oh no, they were my arm? But it's the same way. When part of the body's gone, we miss those. In fact, Daryl, you were just asking earlier about some people. Where are they? You know, what happened to them? We miss them. Some people go to a big church just so they can't be missed. They can hide out, and you know, you can't hide in this church, obviously. It's not very easy. It'd be very hard to hide out. But anyway, we do care. God does care. Jesus cared so much that what did He do? He died on the cross, a torturous death, so that He would take our punishment and that we could have eternal life, and offers it, a free gift. And people, what will they do? Many times, "Oh, no, I don't want it right now," or "I don't need it," or "I can do it on my own. I don't need you." And it breaks the heart of God. It really breaks God's heart, and it breaks our heart too. So that's the first section in Romans 9. And then Paul says, you know, because his own people had so much going for them. He says, theirs is the adoption as sons. Theirs is the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of law, the Ten Commandments was given to them originally, right? The temple worship and the promises, the patriarchs, all the fathers. They weren't from Germany or France. They were Jewish people, right? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They weren't blue-eyed, blonde-haired people. They were part of the Jewish family. And all this came from them. And even the temple, when it says the temple worship and the glory, when the temple, Solomon's temple, was dedicated, the glory of God fell down. It was so powerful, so strong, that people couldn't even stand up. They were falling down. So the power of God was so intense and so incredible. And there were such wonderful times of worship. But then when the Babylonian captivity came, people were sitting down in a different land with a different language and different religions around. They go, "Man, remember when we used to go to church? We used to sit together, we'd have church together, we had fellowship, sweet fellowship," and they were missing the good old days, if you will. So Paul is saying that the children of Israel had all this going for them, but if they reject Jesus, they've lost their salvation, right? Because Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." People say, "How can you say that?" Well, I didn't say it. Jesus did, right? He said it. He's the only one that died and rose again from the dead. All right, so then Paul says, it's not as though God's word had failed. Sometimes we feel that way, like, well, maybe what happened? I thought God's word would work, or maybe I feel like I failed. But the Bible says in Isaiah 55 that the Word of God will not come back void. It will accomplish what it purposes. It's like it will eventually, that seed will reach a harvest eventually. But Paul says it's not as though God's Word failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. So in other words, we are part of the family of Abraham. There's a little kid's song in Sunday school. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. Remember that? I'm one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Never heard of it, huh? Well, maybe you will. But anyway, we are all part of Abraham's family by adoption. We were adopted into the family of God by faith in Jesus Christ, right? And so he talks about the fact that we are all part of the adoption if we know Jesus Christ. And then he talks about this, that Abraham's children had one and the same father, Father Isaac, yet before the twins were born, that is, Jacob and Esau, had done anything good or bad, knowing that God's purpose of election might stand, not by works, but by him who calls, who was told the older will serve the younger. So remember the story of Jacob and Esau? Esau was the firstborn. He was supposed to get the blessing, but God wanted Jacob to have it, and he used the deception that Jacob had. Remember, Jacob went over to his father Isaac, and he put animal skins over his hair because Esau was a hairy guy and Jacob wasn't. And so he put this fake hair on, and then he tried to disguise his voice. He says, oh, yes, here I am, Father. This is Esau. And so Isaac gave the blessing to Jacob instead of Esau. It was actually Jacob. Remember that? But it was all part of God's plan because Jacob's name was changed. Remember, what was Jacob's name changed to? Israel. So the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, came from Jacob, Israel. And remember, Israel wrestled with God, had a whole wrestling match, a WWE encounter with an angel, with the angel of the Lord. And he says, I'm not leaving until you bless me, God. And had that little wrestling match there. And it was then he put his hip out of joint, the angel did, just to remind Jacob who's really a boss, who's in control. And so the rest of his life, Jacob would have this limp to remind himself that you don't wrestle with God, and you're not going to win. And so he would always have that limp to remind himself of that encounter with God. Well, anyway, with Jacob and Esau despised the birthright. And he got really ticked off about it. And then later, he said to Jacob, he said, well, here, Jacob, I'm so hungry. I've been out in the field. I'm willing to sell my birthright anyway to you for a pot of beans. It's kind of weird. He was willing to give up his birthright for that, which is really weird. And the birthright meant a double inheritance. So he got twice as much money. He had more land, be part of the nation of Israel, part of the kingdom of Israel. And he threw all that away for just one meal. Now, have you ever been so hungry? I'm starving. I'd give anything for this. Well, Esau was willing to give up his birthright for a pot of beans. Now, I don't know if they're that delicious, but to think about that, the reason it says God, Jacob says, God said, Jacob I have loved, Esau I've hated. What does that mean? God loves everybody, right? We know that. So if you see a difficult scripture, you have to interpret it in light of all the other scriptures. What do all the other verses say? God is love, right? God loves everyone. So what am I going to do with this verse that says, Esau I've hated? Well, he hated what he did, what he represented. Esau represented the flesh, living in the flesh, doing what he felt like doing, sensuality, food, living for the flesh, and despising the things of the Spirit, the things of God. So that's what it means there when it talks about the fact that Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. He hated what he was going to be doing. And then Paul says, what should we say then? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy. I will compassion on whom I have compassion. But God was not happy with Esau living such a sensual, fleshly life. And think about the world today, right? There are Christians that come to church. There are people who come to church that aren't necessarily Christians, right? They come to church, they have their worship, and they leave, and nothing changes. Nothing in their heart. Their life doesn't change. Their behavior doesn't change. They don't show any love or emotion or joy. They're not changed by the Word of God, so they go right back into the world, the same person they came in. But hopefully, we leave a different person than when we came in, right? Hopefully, we've been touched by God, right, and by the Holy Spirit and by Jesus, that we leave different when we came in, because we've had an encounter, a wrestling match, an encounter with God, if you will, like Jacob had, and that we've been in God's presence, and there's an anointing, there's a power, there's a sense of God being in His house, and when we're in that, then we are changed. So this is a tough text. How do I talk about God hates someone? Well, He hated what He did, and He was calling Jacob to be the leader of His people, Israel, right? So it's a tough text. But remember, when we ask who cares, God cares. God cares enough to send His own Son, Jesus. And other people care for us too. Sometimes people say, well, I wonder if I would leave, they'd even miss me. Or maybe they'll think about, well, if I were to die, have a funeral, I wonder what they'd say about me, they'd even miss me. Well, that's a sad thing to say, right? We hopefully know that we have people here in this church and outside of the church that love us and care for us, and that we're a part of a family. Whether it be Wednesday night or tonight or tomorrow morning, that you are a part of a family, and that how sad it would be if we go to church and not even be missed, and we come back maybe after 6 months, did you miss me? Oh, yeah, sure. How sad would that be? So be in a fellowship, be in like Celebrate Recovery, a church, a Bible study group, or whatever, so that you can be part of a family of believers that support you. And so you know that there are people who care about you, right? That we are loved and cared for by God and by others. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray. Lord God, forgive us for the times we maybe have a pity party and wonder if anybody cares or if you even care. Help us to know that you cared enough to send your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, and that you rose again from the dead, and you're coming back again someday. But Lord, help us to know that you call us to love others, to love other people to Christ, those that are lost, to love the lost, to let our heart break for them, Lord, that we would weep and cry out for their souls, Lord, the lost souls. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.